Blog Talk Radio.
Intelligent, controversial, groundbreaking. The great liberators are coming. Hosts Amiri Brown and Kenya White take on all topics intrinsic to the Black experience. No topic is too cold or too hot. Now, here are the great liberators, Amiri Brown and Kenya White.
Hey, how's everyone doing out there? This is your host of Amiri Brown, host of the Great Liberators Radio Show. It's Monday afternoon. I'm supposed to be having a debate with a gentleman, and the debate or the discussion is, am I enabling Black female behavior? And so I'm waiting to get this gentleman in. Let me get Kenya in right quick. Yeah, Kenya?
Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me? How's my audio?
Your audio is good.
Okay, good, because I was just going to call in off of my phone and just use my Bluetooth headset, and I thought it was charged up, and apparently it wasn't charging, so it was going dead. So I was like, oh, man, I got to try and – so I had my mic headset, so – but I see we got a caller, so I'm assuming that this is the gentleman. But before I bring him on, I just want to say this is how you have a real discussion. This is how you have a real debate. That bullshit that the manosphere clique was doing, and you can tell that they feel powerful on that. That's the only way they could feel any power. You know, all that grandstanding that they was doing, all their tricks, muting my mic, cutting me off, all that screaming and hollering and yelling. Hey, man, look, you're not doing anything, dude. You know what I'm saying? You're not doing anything. I lost Kenya. Yeah, but you know, all that old garbage where you're cutting me off, wouldn't let me talk. All that, you know, saying stuff that sound profound but never really get a chance to unpack it. When you're subverted, you don't know you're subverted. You know what I'm saying? This is how you have a real intellectual debate and discourse right here. I'm going to show those amateurs how it's done, and how you have a legitimate debate and discussion like a real intellect. And that is the niche of the Great Liberators Radio Show. Sophisticated Black intellectualism, intellectual revolutionary thought. That is our niche. And this is how come our message is starting to pick up steam. And so these brothers might as well get ready. And listen, I'll debate anybody on a neutral platform, formal setting, and they're going to be lunch. Be food, and I think these guys know this, and so this is why it never really happens. So let me bring the gentleman on. Hold on 1 second. Yeah, caller 925. Hello, caller. Caller 925. Can you hear me? He didn't say anything. I don't know what's going on. Hold on 1 second. Let me see what's going on with the audio. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, he's not on here yet. I don't know what happened to Kenya. Her phone. Her call was dropped, but apparently this guy hasn't called in yet. So. I'm waiting to get him on, but you know, while I'm on here, I'll just touch on a couple of things. See, because this is the reality of where we are. The fact of the matter is that the system that we are under, the system of white supremacy, it seeks to render the Black male either invisible and or ineffective. And unfortunately, for too many brothers, it has been largely successful at doing that. And so for a lot of brothers, the only way they can seek to find relevancy is through the Black female. You see, and this is why they'll say things like, you know, holding sisters accountable. And my position is, you haven't even held yourself accountable. Whenever it comes to the things that you've done and the behaviors that you engage in, you make excuses. You make all types of excuses. If we talk about how you pumped cocaine to your own people in the 80s, or heroin to your own people in the 70s, you automatically start talking about how hard you have it. Well, what about how hard sisters have it? What about that? What about how hard they have it? So if I'm not finna hold sisters to a higher standard, I'm holding you to. You're the man. You're a male. Period. Period. Point blank. And then on that panel, they talking about I'm using shaming tactics, but angry man gonna call me A. Marie, like trying to say like I'm a female. What nigga, y'all using shaming tactics first? You see what I'm saying? Y'all using shaming tactics first. So that's the only way guys like that can feel powerful. A lot of them have what they need to call that's not the manosphere. That's a divorcee's club. You see what I'm saying? Because a lot of those guys have failed relationships with black women, and they can't conceive the thought that they played a part. Now, it takes two to tangle. So they're talking about 80% of black women getting divorces, like 80% of the women getting married just to get divorced. You know what I'm saying? It's shit taking place in the marriage. The women doing stuff, they don't have no business, and so are you. You see what I'm saying? And that's the reason why they filing for the majority of divorces. That's the reason why. It's not only on sisters, it's on you too. And listen, you know, because I understand why, you know, brothers have this sense of ambivalence to black male accountability and to these issues, because for a long time, you know, the theme about black men has been that they aren't shit. You know, and I know a lot of brothers came up with their single, you know, under their single mother, and a single mother would probably tell them things about their pops and tell them that their father wasn't shit. And so that is unfortunate, and I sympathize with that. But the reality is that a lot of brothers weren't shit at that time, and a lot of brothers aren't shit. And instead of, you know, balling up like a, you know, like going like a turtle going in his shell, you have to face that. Just like T'Challa in the Black Panther movie, before he could do what he needed to do for Wakanda, he had to face the truth about his father before he could take the mantle of the true king of Wakanda. This is the issue. The road to greatness that these brothers seek is within themselves. And we have to understand that the demons of our fathers, we have to slay by confronting them, not by making excuses and putting all the onus on the women to keep the family dynamic in solvent and functioning. There's a certain ethic you must walk with. You see? And, you know, to a certain extent, I've been blessed with my wife, because my wife, I can honestly say, she does not disparage me to my children. She's been very good at that. But also, I haven't given her things to disparage my children with. You see, so it's a symbiotic relationship. It's not where you're doing all types of shit under the fucking sun, and then the woman just supposed to protect your reputation. You protect your reputation first. Give her something to protect. So it's not only laid at the feet of these women. What about you and your accountability and what you're doing? Period. And that is the real issue. That is the real issue. You see, hold on, let me see. Caller, if I got a couple of callers here. Let me see, 916 might be him. Hold on one second. Caller 916.
Hey.
Hey. Did you want to make a comment?
No, I don't remember pushing the queue. I'm sorry. I'm just
Yeah, I know you didn't. You didn't. I messed up. I'm trying to get this guy in. Hold on one second. Hey, listen, brother, if you're on on the line, press 1 so that'll bring you in my queue. Okay, hold on one second. Yeah, caller?
Hello.
Hey, this Kenya?
Yeah, I got disconnected.
Yeah,
okay. I'm just back.
I saw you. I thought that was your number, but I wasn't sure because, you know, I got a few callers here, so I was trying to wait and see. But see, now he has. Let me. You know what? I have. Let me inbox him And see, that this is what these guys do, man. They do all that talking and want to come on and troll on the YouTube videos and stuff. But then when it comes to actually having a real intellectual discussion, they don't want to do that. Just like Burning Bush and Jonathan, y'all got handled. And you can see their cognitive dissonance. You know what I'm saying? These dudes, they have no real interest in reconciliation or anything with sisters. You see what I'm saying? And that's why I'm not trying to unify with niggas like that. You know what I'm saying? Y'all niggas just as much of the problem as anything else. Period. Mm-hmm. And so they need to take responsibility and accountability for the things and that we've done as a male group and male collective. You know, this thing where we must be constantly patted on the back. I don't believe in that. I believe that at some point, what you know, the results matter. Results matter. You see what I'm saying? Results matter. And excuse the hell out of me for actually believing in the latent great potential of black men. You see what I'm saying? But when you have this fear of failure, then you'll take the position that they take. And then sitting there talking about I'm enabling black female behavior. You're mad. You know what you're really pissed at and incensed at is that I'm not enabling your fucking behavior. You see what I'm saying? Just like they'll say where the women control sex. Okay, fine, cool. You control fatherhood. You see what I'm saying? So just because a woman got her legs open, that don't mean you got to run up in her. You exercise some discretion. You choose better. But they get mad when you do that. But see, the reason why they get mad when you do that is because they view that behavior as manly, normal, and masculine. That's why they have a problem with that. You see what I'm saying? But nobody can call them out. For 5 years, these dudes have been firing off on sisters. Nobody been saying nothing. Now they all butt hurting in their feelings. They might as well get ready. You see what I'm saying? But they're not going to, like I said, they're not going to have a real legitimate debate or dialogue or discussion that is formal, controlled, where both sides get to say what they have to say and actually examine, you know, each other's position. You see what I'm saying? And that whole thing, what I did on that was a waste of time, which I knew it was, but I really was, you know, it was fun to me, you know, it was fun. And then like they getting all irate and incensed and all that screaming and hellin' and that you bitch nigga and all that. Well, you know, like I said, you can't pull no video of me nowhere whining about taking care of my children or paying child support, because if I had to pay child support for my children, then I'd do that, because the fact of the matter is they didn't ask to be here. And regardless of how it harms me, I must decrease and they must increase. You see? But this is why we've been stagnated as a people, because a lot of not just brothers but sisters too, but predominantly brothers, we've become detached and disconnected from any sense of successorship. We don't see our children as successors. We see our children as our contemporaries. You see what I'm saying? We don't understand that we must sacrifice for them. And that's why I said white men have more faith in the myth of white supremacy than we do in so-called black empowerment and being pro-black. And I know that because I can look at the results. You see what I'm saying? I can look at the results. The litmus is sacrifice. When is the last time that we as black men have made any real sacrifices for the community, for the people? When? We've been sitting here talking about how it's all about us. You know what I'm saying? Confined in our bubble of victimology and pain, which is very real. But what sisters have gone through is real too. So why do we act like that's not a real thing? Why do we act like that is inconsequential? Why do we act like that doesn't mean nothing? You see what I'm saying? This is why I have a problem with what they're talking about. This is why I have a problem. Because what they're trying to pretend is like because we're dominated by another male group that is accountability. No, it's not. That is not you taking accountability for how you tend to behave and act within your family dynamic and within your community. Those two things aren't the same. You see what I'm saying? Because the fact of the matter is that our women are subjected to the same system. Period. But it's only we only think that it's about us. What would be your assessment of that fake debate?
Man, I don't know what this guy is. Let me end by. I really didn't think
that it was even worth doing. It's just a bunch of yelling and screaming, talking over each other, assaulting each other,
okay.
taking more attacks.
Yeah.
I feel like it was a waste of time because they're not trying to hear what you're saying because they already know what you're saying. That's why they're already upset by the time you show up. They're already upset with your ideas. And I don't, you know, because they are, you can tell that black unity, black love, restoration of the black family structure is not their bottom line. Because if people listen to you and men and women mm-hmm. begin to behave the way you suggest, nothing's going to come of that but black unity and black love and restoration of the family structure. So anybody that's at odds with you, you have to question their motivation. You know?
Right.
Being on a video panel or on a radio show with somebody that's at odds with you, I mean, it's not even a debate because they don't let you talk. You can't finish a complete thought. You know? They keep interjecting.
Right.
And deflecting,
right.
nothing ever gets resolved, and you don't even get to finish presenting the information that you have. They will, you know, cite random sources, and then try to force you to prove your sources. It's just completely one-sided. I think that if you do debate somebody, it needs to be one-on-one with you and that person. This whole six people on one person. 10 people on one person, that's ridiculous.
All right, let me, okay, I got two number ones. Caller, let me see what it is. Let me see if this is him, because I told him press one, but I got, caller?
Oh, Big J here.
Oh, this is Big J. What you want, Big J?
Yesterday, we and you were supposed to be having this one-on-one.
When? Now, I didn't see nothing about.
No, you did wrote about having a one on one. Do not sit there and get in and try ease yourself out of it. I'm explain this to you. What makes you think that shaming men is going to solve the problem?
Can I respond? how I'm a gracious host. I'll respond by this. I could pose that same question to the men. What makes you think shaming women is going to solve the problem? See, because this is the thing. There are only two forces that can shake a segment of a population out of apathy. One is a sense of extreme loss. The other is a sense of extreme anger. And I've determined in my assessment of the black male-female relationship dynamic as it exists right now, any effort to create that sense of deep loss in black men is a non-starter because we've become detached from the black female. So the only other avenue that is left to me is anger. And so my hope is that I can break the apathy with anger. There is a method to my madness. You see what I'm saying? There is a method to my madness. So I answered your question. Now, what else you want to know?
Because let's say all these black men that you got problem with became to have some not a power, prestige, or respect. What makes you think that man is going to share power with Timothy G and all these butthurt females who keep making these videos about men all day?
What you said something about power. Wait, what makes me think that men are going to share power with Cynthia G and these butthurt women? Is that what you said?
This is what we got to understand.
Right, but here's the thing, though. There is no power for us. This is the exact problem, and this is what I'm trying to say.
There is no power. See, again, you are deflecting from what I was talking about. Now how can the lady talk about what happened what BGS and Angerman did to you by deflecting? You doing the same damn thing by sitting there deflecting. Talk about what I'm talking about.
What do you mean by power then? You see, because the only way we're gonna have power is if we foment that together. So being divided is only counterproductive. So there is, that's what I'm saying. There is no power. So I don't understand what you're talking about.
Wait, hold on. How can you put that in it? Come, how can you say that? What you just said, when you back a person who's more divisive than ever, and the person who you back is a female.
Cynthia G goes hard for black men. So I don't know what y'all talking about. Cynthia G has a video on the Me Too movement and how it's targeting black men. But this whole thing where we must be unified with black men without being able to critique black men is the problem. The problem isn't in her critique. The problem is in your inability to accept her critique. You're creating the division because you won't acknowledge any critique anybody levies against you because there's this sense of protecting this fragile black male ego. That is the issue. Because let's not pretend and act like black men have been operating above board. See, because it takes moral authority to
lead. You said
Big J Triple X. You saying it right now with your argument. See, I'm gonna give you a taste. I'm gonna give you a taste of the own medicine. You muted, brother. You see what I'm saying? So you gonna speak when I say speak. That's how this gonna go on here. You see? Now, this whole thing, they don't want to take any. They don't want these brothers don't want to accept any level of critique. That's the damn problem. Sitting here pretending like the stuff black women say don't have validity to it. That's the problem. And see, this whole thing, they don't even, these men don't even understand that accepting responsibility and accepting accountability is not the same thing as acknowledging fault. See, because we know ultimately it's not your fault. It's not all your fault. It's not all a black woman's fault. That's not what we're trying to do here. But if we don't take a certain level of accountability and ownership for the part that we play, which is the predominant part, then we'll never be able to heal. You see what I'm saying, and actually get something done. So this whole thing where for unity, let me tell you something. Unity where one party suffers in silence isn't unity. It's a wall of silence. That's what it is. See, because true unity is allowing the wound and exposing it and disinfecting that wound and getting all those things out there. But these brothers don't want to do that. Like if we talk about how. During the late 1960s, early 1970s, with the rise of pimp culture, that it was commonplace for black men to use bullwhips on black women. You see what I'm saying? Those things were taking place. You see? But they don't. But if you say that, they're gonna. That ain't true. It is true. It's not something that's not made up. That is true. Those are things that black. You know, our record isn't stellar, but we have to acknowledge that. We have to acknowledge that because the standard comes from us. The standard comes from the example that we set. See, but what it is during that time period, it was commonplace for the men to do all type of shit, and it would be laid at the feet of the woman to hold a family together. No, that's weak. You hold the family together. It's your charge to hold the family together, not the woman, not the wife. I don't know where they get that from. Where you out here doing all types of things under the sun and expect nothing to happen to the family? That's not how that works. So you have to operate with a certain ethic. But those guys didn't want to have that conversation. Okay, caller 310, I'm bringing you on. Yeah, caller.
Hey, man, how you doing, man? This is Ken. Kenneth.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing okay, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. I'm assuming you read my Facebook post, yeah?
Did I read it? Yeah, I did. Let me see.
What did you think? I mean, I felt like, that was the fair, my perception, the fairest way to kind of get an understanding as to what's going on, in the black community as a whole with regards to dysfunction.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And, I think, like I've always taken, listening to you, I just take exception to, as a man, I definitely agree that we are the leaders. And mm-hmm. What do they say? Fish rot from the head.
Right.
So I can definitely understand what you're saying. But by the mm-hmm. same token, when you're dealing with individuals, a lot of individuals that I personally feel like, if you're going to let me be the leader, you got to listen to what I say. And that's where I think a lot of times, you know, there's the issue, because I feel like a lot of times our women don't want to listen to what we have to say. And I'm not talking – there's a distinction, in my opinion, between black men and niggas.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay? And I feel like even like I was listening to, you know, your conversation with – you know, I couldn't even call it a conversation. I was, you know, five dudes or six dudes, you know, screaming, trying to scream down one guy. But,
right.
you know, I mean – The overall gist is, for the most part, from what I understand about all those men, is they take care of their kids, and, you know, some of them are married and so forth or whatever. Those aren't the men you got problems with. But yet you're going to them, you're going to them and try to hold them accountable for the actions of some knuckleheads. And the only way these knuckleheads can continue is because our women are giving them immortality in the form of children. You know, time and time again. When are you going to address that?
All right.
That's my issue. When are you going to address that?
Right. Okay. Well. Let me say this. I appreciate your tone. You've been very respectful. So, and I appreciate you taking this time to have this discussion. Now, and that's not to say that
you give me the time.
Right. And that's not to say that there isn't validity to what you're saying. There is, you know, a culture of hypersexuality and oversexuality that exists. So, but when I'm looking at the dynamic and the point that I'm coming from, I'm using historical sources, empirical data, and to make my assessments. And the fact of the matter is that this period of perceived chastity that existed in America is a fallacy. There has never been this period where women were chased and men were chased, because sex is a normal human behavior. Now, during that time period, because America is a Christian nation and marriage was a Christian institution, there was a stigma assigned to people having sex out of marriage and casual sex.
Right.
That was just the stigma. That was not the reality. People have always had premarital sex, and when we go and look at the numbers, the sex, like during the period of the sexual revolution, there was a very small uptick in the amount of premarital sex. So the premarital sex levels have always been this high. The issue was with the institution of the institution of marriage itself. The marriage rates are down, and the shotgun wedding rates are down. That is how come we see a concentration of single mothers. It's not this thing where sisters are just laying around with any type of dude, because the reality is that men as a group, and this is irregardless of race, have always been selective in their approach to fatherhood. This is why you had, and that's just like I was telling them on a panel. Child support was here at the 13 colonies. Child support always was here because that is something that men would do. So if you don't have a mechanism in place to make the men handle their responsibility, you're going to have some men who going to cause a pregnancy and not going to do anything about it. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's the issue. So if we want to attack this culture of single motherhood, we have to understand that it is a binary situation. It's not just one thing where, you know, sisters just opening their legs for the wrong types of dude, because the single mother mother phenomenon is present across all the socioeconomic spectrums. Now,
it's far worse with us. One, and then two, like, you know, you alluded to like the uptick, you know, at the sexual revolution. I think you even talked about with the welfare and, you know, yada yada yada. You got to understand something about those statistics, brother. When you're talking about such a broad, you know, amount of people, you know, what do they say about a president? You know, I'll give you the example of a president and the decision that they make. You can't really define the success of a president until probably 3 or 4 years. You know, I'm sorry, 3 or 4 terms after they've left. Then we start to see the effects of the decisions that he actually made. So when you talk about, like, you know, what happened in 1968 and feminism, what really, you know, took hold, you know, in the mid 60s and all that stuff like that. And then, you know, you alluded to the Vietnam War, and, you know, and I'll be the first to say, you know, black men open the door for that bullshit. I'm sorry, it's in the curse, but, you know, but black men open the door for that nonsense.
Right.
I wholeheartedly agree with you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like Freeway Ricky Ross, who was one of the first, you know, probably the most popular back in the day, he was raised by a single mother, okay?
Right.
And I don't know the circumstances as to how, you know, she was a single mother, you know,
mm-hmm.
but, I mean, even like, you know, the blackdemographics.com, the website that you frequently go to, says that, you know, 95% of black men were married. So you're talking at prior to the 60s. So you're talking about 5% of men. I mean, somehow you got to try to account for that, brother. You have to try to account for that
Right. We account for it through mass incarceration. Mass incarceration is because, check this out. If we say they took men out of the home, then we have to look somewhere else in the populace and see where there has been an influx of black men. And the only place we see an influx of black men that is astronomical is in the prison population, because Nixon in 1968, he gave us the first phase of mass incarceration, and mm-hmm. Ronald Reagan gave us the second phase, and Bill Clinton gave us the third phase. You see what I'm saying? You see,
right.
Because black men didn't begin to comprise a majority of the prison population until 1986. Up until 1986, white men were a majority of the prison population. You see what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? And this is something that William Julius Wilson, who is a black sociologist, accounts for in his book, When Work Disappears. You see what I'm saying? So we have to understand
right.
that these things have a cumulative effect. Now, something else that I want to mention too. We also, what we must understand is that prior to the 60s,
mm-hmm.
many black people were conservative. They were Christian conservatives. See, and this is something too that when we talk about the decline of the marriage rate, the South, the Bible Belt South, has the highest marriage rates till this day. They have the highest
right.
marriage rates. So as black people begin to migrate into the northern cities, they begin to take on the mannerisms and the behaviors of the northern cities, which has always been liberal. They have always, those areas have always been liberal, and this is something that E. Franklin Frazier talks about. I think we forget that Moynihan, when he made the Moynihan Report, shows that this pathology was isolated to the urban areas. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So when black people moved into those northern cities, they picked up those behaviors. They picked up pimping. They picked up prostitution. They picked all those things up from the northern cities, where and the whites were there. But what happened is when you had suburban – go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I agree. Like, I'm still going back to – I think you're missing my point. We can go back and forth about niggas. You want to go back to niggas. Okay, the problem is our women ain't talking to niggas. They're coming to us, screaming at us about what niggas are doing. And then like a man like me is saying, well, hey, but you keep going to these niggas.
Okay.
Stop messing with
so,
them.
Right.
Another question
so how? Go ahead, Kenya.
I have a question.
Hi, Kenya. How you doing?
Hi, how are you, Kenneth? You say your name was Kenneth?
Kenneth, uh-huh.
All right, that's my son's name. Love that name. Anyway, my question is, why do seemingly reasonable men think that it is more logical to admonish the women who love bad men, according to you? Why is it that you do that rather than just address those men directly? Because
honestly,
it looks like cowardice. It looks like cowardice.
Address
it looks like you'd rather pick on the small guy than hold your brothers accountable. It doesn't make sense to clown Pookie and Ray Ray's girlfriends instead of speaking man to man and heart to heart with Pookie and Ray Ray.
Okay. The answer to your question, the best way I can do is give you the example that I put in that post I sent to Amiri. Okay.
Well,
I gave an example.
Kenneth, you haven't summarized the post for our listeners, so we don't know what
you're
talking about.
I'm about to. It was kind of long. It was kind of long because, you know, I didn't
right.
know if he was ever going to, you know, give me a chance. So I, you know, but I there's a certain part that I alluded to, which was, you know, I believe that, you know, a lot of times, you know, art imitates life, you know, and so I posted some examples of celebrities, okay, respectable black females, and who they have dated. And I think, like, you know, just recently Toni Braxton, I guess she got engaged. Well, I've always, you know, looked at Toni Braxton as a high-level black female. Who did she get engaged with? A Birdman. Whitney Houston got with Ray J. And Bobby,
right,
before that, Bobby Brown. Vivica Fox messing with 50 Cent. You know, and you know, there's a Sierra in Future, you know. And the thing is that when I look at the black male version of those type of those women, which would be like your, you know, your Boris Cujos and your Idris Elbas and your Morris Chestnut, those men don't date the female version of Future, which would be Nicki Minaj and you know, and Cardi B. They don't date those type of women. They don't marry those type of women. They don't have kids by those type of women. Now, what the problem is even like me, I work in office, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the people in the customer service side of where I work, black women, these women, you know, make about probably $30 an hour. Getting dropped off by these dudes that, you know, they ain't working and, you know, just ain't about a damn thing, you know?
Brother, you
so,
sound like you're jealous that men are getting women that you're not able to get. Can you answer my question as to why you're so worried about who women are opening their legs to instead of talking to brothers and having them be a better choice?
First of all, Kenya, my wife works in the same customer service thing that they do, so I got one of those women. First of all, okay, and she is a black woman, okay, and then secondly, it has nothing to do with me being jealous. It has everything to do with the fact that the offspring that those women are going to give those men that are dysfunctional are going to grow up and continue that cycle, and which is why we got to sit here and talk about what's going on.
Can you ask my question now?
Yeah, hold on, can you?
Why don't I go after the men? Why don't I go after the men? My answer is that why do I have to go after the men when you want to be with those men? Okay,
one last thing.
I feel like I just, you know, for the sake of argument here, myself and Kenya, we on the same team. Okay? We live in the same house. Okay, if you're letting somebody in our house that shouldn't be in our house, I'm going to go to you first and say, hey, you got to cut that out. You're letting them in the house,
right? Okay.
I'm not talking about Cardi B. I'm not talking about you know those type of females.
Hold on, Kenya, hold on. Let me, because I got something I want to read and I got something I want to say. Let me just say that what he's saying right there is, I think it's a profound oversimplification of the dynamic. And I think what we actually have here with the position that you're delineating, brother, is an effort of black men to wrest control of the sexual politics. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because the fact that
hold on. Okay.
Go ahead.
You call that shotgun wedding, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like I was saying, to wrest control of the sexual politics. The fact of the matter is that there is not a psychological profile for the type of dude who won't raise his child. Because again,
right,
the fact of the matter is that it has been something that has been that men have always been selective in. You see what I'm saying? So just because a brother might be on the bottom of the socioeconomic spectrum does not mean if he get a woman pregnant, he's not gonna be there for the child. That is a stereotype.
Yeah.
And a matter of fact, that is a white racist stereotype. And this is the reason why I take exception with the things that, you know, that brothers who hold your position tend to say, because what it reveals to me is this internalized toxic white supremacist view. Because the reality is that white society does not differentiate between blacks and niggas. To them, we're all niggas. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I gotta. I gotta disagree with that to a certain extent.
Okay.
But go ahead.
I will. Say why you disagree with it. Hold on. There's an echo or something.
If you remember a quote by Lyndon B. Johnson when he said something along the lines of I can get any man or something like that to, you know, convince any man that he's the lowest white man and he's on the same level as a nigga or something like that, and he'll gladly give you his money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, if you get him to a certain point, you know, you won't even realize that you're stealing from him, you know. And so the point being is, you know, a lot of times, even like you talking about black back in slavery, okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was the slave masters, okay, regarded, you know, you have low-end white, and they were called white trash, and they were looking at them just like they did niggas. A rich white man has more in common with a rich black man than they do a poor white man, okay?
Right. I understand. That's the reality, but that's not the perception.
Right.
That's the reality, but that's not the perception.
Okay, well, I'm just – well, that's what reality – Trump's perception. Okay, so we're talking about what's real.
No, reality. Hold on, reality doesn't trump perception, because what you perceive becomes reality. You see what I'm saying? So this is the thing. This is what I want to know. If because it seems like what we're trying to assert is that this pathology is only isolated to a small segment of the black populace, when the fact of the matter is that black people are only getting married at a rate of 29%. Now something else too. Another reason why our single mother rates are so concentrated is because the marriage rate for married couples has decreased too. So what you actually have is more people who aren't married out procreating people who are, and that's for white, mm-hmm. black. And everything. So that's why I said that position is an oversimplification of the dynamic. But this is why I go back to the beginning. See, because we can't really address this issue from the midpoint. That's like watching a movie from the middle and thinking you're going to understand it at the end. We have to go back to the origin, because it goes back to when we talk about how black men were vacated from the homes and vacated from, you know, from the communities. Because we have to realize that a lot of these sisters, they didn't grow up with fathers in the home. You see what I'm saying? So it's about the example that they had, those behavior patterns. And another thing, again, when I talk about Moynihan shows that this was a result of, this was only isolated to the urban areas. But what happened is when you have the rise of hip hop music and hip hop culture, which served as a host carrier for the pathologies that existed in the urban settings, then it began to infect the overall black community, even in the suburban areas and everything. So that's why I said you see this dynamic across the full spectrum of the socioeconomic statuses of black people. This is why Halle Berry is a single mother. You see what I'm saying?
I remember some, even like, let's take like Halle Berry. If Halle Berry is a single mother, you said something about the socioeconomic status of the black man. I never mentioned anything about a black man about these males being poor, not men, males, about them being poor. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They can be drug dealers for all I know. Okay.
Right.
The point, and they can't own or drive a car because maybe the license got suspended. Different kind of things. I don't know. But Halle Berry, I remember somebody saying, well, you know, she got, you know, she's getting her butt kicked by David Justice, and she went to that Eric Benet, and David Justice was a abusive nigga, Eric Benet was a nigga player, you know, and people were saying, oh, well, she has to, you know, then I think she got with some white guy, and he didn't treat her any better.
Right.
Maybe at some point.
Right.
At some point, she needed to. And again, I'm lumping in like niggas. They're not poor, but they're still niggas
to me.
So the point being is, at some point, why does maybe a Halle Berry? I need to stop leaving these type of men alone, and start looking elsewhere instead of trying to find the same, you know, super handsome, you know, trophy dude, for lack of a better term.
Right, but okay, and let's say there's some merit to that. Let's follow that line of reasoning, because when I was on with Obsidian, they started talking about how there's a universal standard for beauty, and then he went on to say that the reason why you have so many black women that are single and aren't married is because we have too many bust down broads in our community. He was basically saying that black women are the group of women who are the most unattractive. And so this is why I bring it. Yeah, I know that's a ridiculous assertion. But yeah,
I've heard him say that before, and I've responded that that's the most ridiculous thing I have heard of. And there's a reason why all other races of women are trying to copy and emulate the way black women look. Okay.
Right.
But you know, I even told him, and then even if you want to say, you know, I remember him saying something about black women are overweight or something like that. Black men are overweight too. They're, you know, so it's no different.
Right.
If you want to talk about black women and the way they look, you know who you blame? You blame black men, because black men will gladly take a fat woman. It don't matter if you're a black woman, a fat white woman, or whatever. Black men will gladly date an overweight woman. Okay.
Right.
And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's what you like. That's what you like. But you can't hold black women accountable for something like that, and then, you know, when you just as fat as they are, in your opinion, because personally,
right.
I don't think black women are fat. You know, so, but like I said, I get what you're saying. I still think far too much of these conversations are steered toward what niggas are doing. Like, you know, like what Kenya was talking about. Well, how, you know, why don't we go after the niggas? I feel like, why do I have to go after somebody that you are picking? Just real quick, because then it sounds like Kenya wants me to control who she's going to deal with sexually.
No, I don't want you to control who I'm going to deal with, because I'm responsible for Kenya. But what I'm saying is, it does not make sense to deal with the issue indirectly. Why are you talking to women about the actions of men? It makes absolutely no sense.
Because you are picking the men.
I'm sorry.
I'm looking at you like you're the good one. I'm looking personally. I've always lived by this motto. There are no bad women for the most part. It's bad men. Okay. I say even with black women, black women are the most loyal. They're the most dedicated. They're the most beautiful. They're the most everything. The problem is you invest all the strong strength. You invest all that in the wrong men, then you get bitter, then you want to come running to us pissed off because of that, because of this dude that did you wrong.
So why don't you
consider
that a viable solution to that would be for men to talk to men about raising a standard of black excellency and manhood and treating women better, and then the probability of women making a bad choice would go down because the abundance of good men would, you know what I'm saying? It would
count. Let me address some of this too, because what we have to understand too is that the gender asymmetry plays a part in this, and this is something that William Julius Wilson diagnoses, is the fact that there is a dearth of viable black men precisely because of our disenfranchisement. So we have to understand that. See, we can't at one hand talk about how we are disenfranchised from being viable by American capitalistic standards, but then blame sisters for dealing with a certain type of dude who's an underachiever. We have to understand that the underachieving is systemic. And so what's his name? W.E.B. Du Bois in the early 1900, he did a study of the Negro American family, and he even talks about that, how it is problematic when you have in a closed city, you have the women who outnumber the men. You see what I'm saying? And this is what is going on, because the New York Times, they did a study, and in that study they found that in black urban areas, the women outnumbered the men. But then when they went into white suburban areas, the men outnumbered the women. See, that's what we have to understand, that there's this air of competition where sisters are vying for a small pool of men. That is systematic. They do that. That is done just systematically. Go ahead.
You know, I'm always under the impression, the stats I've come across, that in all races there's more women than there are men in all races. I don't know where you're getting that from.
Right, right. But see, you're not accounting for. Hold on, because if we look at the birth rates and everything like that, yeah. But what we have to understand is how, you know, we have to understand spatiality. How communities and neighborhoods are laid out. This is what they call city planning. You see what I'm saying? And that's why I'm saying this is a funneling process. It's not like because even now, we are just as much racially segregated along spatial lines within America as we've always been. You see what
right.
I'm saying? So it's
right.
all about the way the cities and the suburbs are laid out. They can plan that. They can create that. That is engineered. And I put it on my Facebook page a long time ago. I'll repost that link so you can look at that article. But that is something that they were able to, you know, able to show. So we have to understand that there's a certain level of gender asymmetry that plays a part in this. Mm-hmm. That plays a part. And I think because check this out too. This isn't an isolated behavior to black women. This isn't an isolated behavior. When we go look at all these other, you know, other areas and other population groups, it's the same thing playing out. Single motherhood has went up everywhere. You see what I'm saying? For various reasons.
It's worse with blacks.
Right.
It's going to always be community. When at one point, I mean, and even like again, going back to the '60s, a lot of the issues that we had to do with racism, where racism is still prevalent, but it's not as overt as it was back in the day, you know. So even like when you're talking about the whole marriage and so forth and so forth, something that I was hoping you would address is the divorce rate,
right?
Okay, because you know, let's kick the ballistics again. According to blackdemographics.com, okay, there's less black men, okay, there's less black men in the United States than black women, but more black men are married than black women, okay. And then when you say, well, why is that? Well, let's look at the divorces, okay. Statistically, when a divorce happens, a woman is the one that initiates it. So
interracial marriage, though.
That, well, you know what? I'm glad you brought up the interracial marriage. I was looking for that because I know you. Well, not you. I'm sorry, Kenya, not you. But I know Cynthia G. and a few others have loved to tout this ridiculous survey that was done by a woman named Tiffany Calloway, talking about 92% of black men leave their biracial babies and so forth. Right? I was looking for that because I read through it. Okay, one part that it seems like is always overlooked is that part where it talks about the financial status of these women. Okay? It was 97% of these women were poor. That leads me to believe that there's a good chance that they are interacting with the same type with poor dudes. Okay, when I say poor,
no,
I'm talking
about...
Hold on.
Okay, well,
I'm sorry.
I shouldn't cut you off. I'm sorry, I shouldn't cut you off.
Go ahead,
that's my bad.
That's not what I was referring to at all. I was talking about the fact that black men marry white women at a substantially lower rate than they marry white women, but their divorce rate from white women is extremely high.
Actually, I have something on that too. Okay, according to divorcesource.com. Okay, are you talking about in relation to black women and white men?
No, I'm talking about the fact that divorce rates are high, and you're not faring any better with white women.
Yeah,
right.
Okay,
the common denominator is you.
Okay,
right.
So the common denominator is the women. I mean the statistics.
Not if you're married to a non-black woman.
Women are getting divorced. I'm sorry.
What's it?
Not if you're married to a non-black woman. It isn't, which is what we're talking about right now.
Let me say this though, because I'm not going to sit here and pretend like. Since it has become easier for women in general to get along without a man, that there wouldn't be, you know, some women who would be quick to fire a trigger on a divorce. I get that, that is a part of it. But what we also have to understand too is that the nature of our relationships, particularly as it relates between black men and black women, tend to be dysfunctional by default. I mean, we haven't
from
really
the get-go.
Had
right.
We haven't really had examples of what a functional relationship looks like, because this is something I stated. You have brothers who think that their very purpose is to dominate the woman and to be domineering, and they think that's leadership. They think that's being a man. When you have that disposition and you approach it from that aspect, it's going to create a schism in your relationship, because the fact of the matter is that sister's just not going for that. You see what I'm saying?
What do you mean by?
The problem is men nostalgizing the time when it was hard and it was a curse on your life for the rest of your life for you to be without a man, especially if you had children. If you're trying to compare yourself or the black community to the time period when women were forced to stay in situations that could very well have been very toxic, that's disingenuous.
Well,
you cannot compare women who don't have to take it now to women who did.
What were women taking back then, that as opposed to now? What were women taking? Because again, statistically, are you talking about spousal abuse? Because statistically, women are 70% of the time, women are the initiators of spousal abuse. Okay.
Okay. And what is the source of that site? What is the source of that stat?
Hold on. Let me see here.
I got this
queued up. But let me just Kenya alluded to the interracial marriage thing. This is from the divorcesource.com. I'm gonna read this little paragraph right here. This again, divorcesource.com. It says marriages between a black husband and a white wife were twice as likely to divorce as marriages involving a white husband and a white wife. But when adjusted for background aspects such as age, marriage, age at marriage, and educational level, differences between black male and white female marriages and white male, white female marriages virtually disappeared.
Brother.
Okay. Again, when a white woman does not mess with a nigga, their chances of a successful marriage is just as high if they mess with an eligible white male.
Because you keep referring to this nigga, give me the attributes of a nigga as opposed to the black man. What would be the difference? What are those defining characteristics?
Oh man. A nigga does not want to take responsibility for the decisions that they make and their actions, yada yada yada. I think we all know what a nigga is, as opposed to a man.
Okay.
No, actually, I don't think we all know, because you guys are acting like Pookie and Ray Ray are only drug dealers and dudes who work the Wendy's drive-thru. When dudes who act like Pookie and Ray Ray are in corporate America are entrepreneurs and have very successful careers. Knock it off.
Yeah, I think I actually called Eric Benet, David Justice, niggas, and I alluded to what kind of niggas that they were.
Let me ask you this. What would be some of the red flags that should veer a woman off from messing with a dude that's a nigga? What would be some of the red flags she should look for?
Because
if she don't know what to look for.
If I was a woman, okay, personally, I don't feel women can gold dig. Personally, okay, I personally feel like the best way you can identify how much a man is willing to invest in you and the children you could give him is by what he's willing to do for you. Okay, if you're serious. Now, if you're not serious, then yeah, you're a gold digger. But if you're really serious looking for a relationship and you think this man is a prospective mate, and you go out on dates with him, and you find out how he is. When you get your tire on flat, and you call him up at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. He's like, "Baby, I got you." They say, "Man, I don't know what you're gonna do," but you know, that kind of stuff. When you meet him, is he in between jobs? you know, if he has kids, does he take care of them? Does he have multiple baby mamas? I mean, there's so many different red flags that, you know, that you will come across if you just give it time. Okay.
Right. See, okay. Now, that's right. Hold on. Because I want to
overlook those red flags, and that's on you.
All right. Now, let me say this.
But this
is the thing that we got to get to. Ultimately, what it boils down to is it boils down to socialization of boys and girls, and it boils down to the culture. And the cues that the culture conveys, because what we also have to understand is the time period that you referenced with the marriage and stuff like that is we socialized children differently back then. We socialized them to go into the dating world, and they didn't even date; they courted. See, this whole thing with casual dating was non-existent.
Right.
They courted, and so the courting process was for the express purpose of pair bonding, not for you to get some cheap lay as a man, and not for you to get dug out as a female. And that's why I said it boils down to the culture that we have and the value system that we operate with. It's part of this is a values issue. It's the values. Now let's not sit here and pretend like there hasn't been an entire value shift in men in general, but especially black men, that tells us that we should seek to get between a woman's leg at all costs. Because the fact of the matter is that as men, we build up our sense of manhood and masculinity off of the JJ points. This is why Tariq Nasheed made his book called The Art of Macking. And in that book, he has a chapter where he even talks about if a girl plays hard to get, you use these tactics to get sex from her. You call her childish. You tell her you're not going to deal with her. You're not going to call her. So this is the problem that I have with brothers. We want to act as if these things are taking place within a vacuum of that. And let's not sit here as men and act like we haven't had that locker room talk like Donald Trump, where you could just grab him by the pussy. We have to understand that a part of this starts with the value system that we operate with as men. Hold on, brother, because we have another caller.
Kenneth.
And Kenneth. I'm going to let them chime in. Caller 630, because they've been holding for a while. Caller 630. I'm going to bring you on right quick. Yeah, caller?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how you doing? What's your name?
Hey, Amiri. Hey, Kenya. This is Remy.
Hey.
Remy, okay. How you doing, Remy? Yeah, what's up? What's going on?
What about me?
I'm nothing, Jeff.
You're not gonna stay out of me. That's cold. All right, I got you. Okay, I see.
That's Kenny.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, Remy. Well, go ahead. What you have to say about it, sis?
I mean, first of all, I wanted to say that when you did the debate with, you know, those beta males, is what I'm gonna call them, because that's what they were. That was like a mob attack. It felt like a gang that just came out, to shoot to kill. That's what they did.
Right.
So, real sorry that you had to deal with that. You're welcome. I think that a lot of the animosity is coming from, you know, social media in general. I think that a lot of people, they get upset because, I mean, you do speak on, you know, everybody needs to take accountability. I do see that a lot, just like with you, like with Cynthia G. I mean, you know, she gives, you know, her two cents when it comes to black women as well. But I just feel like maybe they feel like it's not even enough. You don't get enough time to the black women as you do to black men. So I think that's what a lot of people have a problem with.
Right.
Second of all, I just feel like if it don't apply to you, why do you care?
Right. Right.
If you're not a dusty beta male, why do you care? If you're not a hood rat, why do you care? If you're not this cent, period. That's all I'm saying.
Can I answer that? Okay. I care because I have four daughters by the same woman. Okay. I have four daughters. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is some of the dudes that I've had to chase away. Okay, which I understand is just a part of, you know, girls growing up and learning what's right and what's wrong and so forth. But at some point, they're going to have to experience some of this stuff on their own. And, you know, unfortunately, I know if you have children or, you know, I know Amiri has children. I don't know if Kenny has children. You know, my concern is well, I might be trying to raise my kids right. I have one son, too. I might be trying to raise my kids right, you know, but that don't mean that if I just leave it be or whatever, you know, I'm about the community. I'm a family person. So, you know, I feel like we all got to talk this out and work together because my kids are going to have to interact with your kids. And if you feel like, well, I don't care, and I'm saying you do, but if you feel like you don't care, that's going to resonate with your kids, and they're going to go with that same mindset. They're going to be dysfunctional, and that's when you start having the issue.
Of the age of being sexually attracted to men and able to have sex, that they're not going to get you to pre-approve the people that they sleep with. You're aware of that, right?
Right?
Okay.
Yeah,
so
one of my daughters is 22. She already has a baby.
I'm trying to complete my thought, please. Are you also aware that no matter how you raise your child, once they get of a certain age, they are going to behave however they choose to behave? And I'm not even talking about your daughters. I'm talking about you are teaching your daughters how to pick a husband, I'm sure. So what I'm telling you is that there's a such thing called game, and that men are not telling women, you know, I'm full of crap, let's do it. They are pretending to be exactly what she is looking for to get it. And that's how, you know what I'm saying? You guys are acting like a woman to be able to look at a guy and tell with 100% certainty not only what he will do now, but what he will do years and decades down the road or after a major life event like having a baby or the death of a parent or unemployment or something. And that's just ludicrous.
Right. I agree with that.
So if it's my understanding, what you're saying is that there's no way for you, you know, to be able to tell a judge what a man is going to do?
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is what I just said, which is there's no way to know with 100% certainty. Sure, you can vet a dude. You can have your parents and grandparents meet him and everything, and none of that is a guarantee.
There is, all right.
I disagree with this assumption that sisters don't have standards, and I actually have something that I want to read on this, and this you know goes to my point that they have standards, because Bible black men are scarce, there's a small pool, there's not enough men that meet those standards. I'm going to cite the source. This is the social and economic barriers to marriage. It says, ever since Moynihan presented his argument, other scholars have accumulated considerable evidence that social and economic impediments to marriage matter more than value orientations. Aspirations are not the issue. in this view so much as a dearth of what William Julius Wilson calls marriageable black men. In part, the men are just not there in many black communities. Mortality rates are high for black men, and black men are also very often imprisoned. In 2010, 4,347 out of every 100,000 black men were in prison, a rate that was six times higher than the imprisonment rate for white men. It says, even more important, the characteristics and life situations of many black men fell well short of women's preferences. Now, that's not even talking about just black women, but any woman, any group of women, they fall short. But we know why. The reason why is because the system of white supremacy. Okay, now I'm a skip and I'm gonna read this part. Let me see. It says, in 2010, the Pew Research Center asked respondents to rate the importance of various factors when choosing a mate, and found that black women have high aspirations. And we know this is, and we know they have high aspirations. Ken, you remember when we played that clip from the Zoe Williams show, and he was talking about, sister, what you want is rare. You see what I'm saying? And that's how come we'll tell sisters, you know, I'm not being judged by the standard of white men. We black men are not white men, because we know we don't measure up. But so we want to get the sisters to lower their standards. Then when they lower their standards, we tell them they should have had standards. This type of double speak and double talk, because we don't want to acknowledge the truth about our condition as men and what is really coming from. You see what I'm saying? And that's why I keep saying that there's a systemic component to this. It's systemic. Mm-hmm. But that's gonna have to conclude the discussion, y'all, because we already in overtime and I gotta go to work. But Ken, I appreciate you coming on. See, this is how you have a real dialogue and discussion. You see what I'm saying? A lot of these guys don't. They're full of confirmation bias. They're not trying to hear nobody else's opinion. They're not trying to listen to understand. They're trying to listen so they can respond and do all this other stuff. But this is what we do at the Great Liberators Radio Show. Call up and we will have a real discussion, and I will lay out my points and my views, and I'll let you lay out yours. I won't be muting you, interrupting you, and doing all that other stuff that they were doing. So, I appreciate you calling up.
The time.
Okay. Bye. All right. Yeah, can you? Yeah, I like him. You know what I'm saying? I like the way he called up. You know, he called up with good energy and everything. You know, so, you know, and we'll just continue doing what we're doing. And this is the thing, that's why we have the group Black Men and Women United. But we want to act like the Black Men and Women United is just so we can unify. But we haven't even fleshed out these issues. We haven't even allowed brothers to say what they have to say, and we haven't allowed sisters to say what they have to say. That's not unity.
Yeah. No.
So we can't have true unity till each get to air their grievances. You see,
right.
But that has been this brief broadcast of the Great Liberators Radio Show. The title of the show is "Dear Malesphere Clowns." This is how you have a real discussion and intellectual debate. And so it's going to be up on YouTube momentarily. Hey, let me ask you this right quick, Kenya. Did you see where I put up that proposed solution for brothers who are having a hard time with child support?
Yes, I did see that.
What do you think of that idea?
I think that's a great idea, but I think that black women, again, would be the main one supporting.
Right.
Whenever there's money that needs to be raised, it's always black women given, whether it's a black church, whether it's Dr. Umar, whoever it is, it's always black women doing it. And I don't think that it is behooving to single black mothers or black women in general to start paying child support for men who won't pay it. I don't think that it's going to get enough support from brothers helping other brothers. That's what I think.
Right, because I've already had negative comments, and it's really what you said. A lot of these dudes mad and jealous that men getting the women that they can't get, and so they blame the women. Let me tell you, and if this climate continues for black women, you're going to start seeing black male serial killers, because most serial killers that are males, they engage in serial killing of women, particularly prostitutes and women that they view as promiscuous, because there's a certain level of hatred there, internalized hatred to the woman. So if this climate continues, you're going to see an uptick. You're going to see that begin to manifest itself. We're already seeing it with what's going on in Chicago. You see what I'm saying? And that's how come it is important to shift the cultural narrative right now. You see what I'm saying? That's why this is vitally important. But again, this has been a brief episode of the Great Liberators Radio Show. Make Black America Great Again or Die Trying.
All right.
Thank you for listening to The Great Liberators, hosts Amiri Brown and Kenya White. Until next time.
Deal.